thankful for that song. I would ask you today to pray that the word of the Lord may have free course. I want to share some scripture with you today from the first chapter of 2 Timothy. I want to begin reading with verse 1 and read the first 9 verses for a scripture reading. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, if you want to read with me. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Again, that is reading the first 9 verses of the first chapter of 2 Timothy. I also want to call your attention to a verse of Scripture from the 119th Psalm, verse 105. David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And this message that I have on my heart to share with you today, the Lord began to burden my heart back early in the week with this thought. And I want to ask you to pray today that he will help me to be able to deliver it in a way that he will be pleased. I want to speak today in appreciation, not in exaltation, but with appreciation. The title that I want to use today is "Those Who Have Walked the Path Before Me." David, in that verse there from the 119th Psalm, verse 105, obviously realized that he was walking a path. He said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I believe that today, as children of God, we are walking a path. And the word of the Lord certainly is able to light that path and to guide us and to keep us on the right path, to keep us headed in the direction that we ought to be going. God's word certainly provides that illumination that we need. because we, as long as we live here, we're surrounded by darkness. There's things all around us that are dark. Sin is all around us. And just a few weeks ago, Brother Wheat mentioned this, and I remember years ago hearing this song sang about the people of God, about that we were getting used to the dark, and we shouldn't get used to the dark. We are taught in the Bible to walk in the light as He is in the light. And then when we do that, we're going to have fellowship with the Lord and with each other. That's what the Apostle John taught us in his writings. But I want today, as I said, to speak in appreciation of those that have trod the path before me. And today, I guess that I could say that this would be somewhat of a dedication. Perhaps today, more than anything, I would like to speak to those of you, of God's people today that are here, that are older than myself, that have lived before me and have walked the path before me. And it's my objective today in this message, as I said, not to exalt, but to let you know that I appreciate your labors in the Lord. I believe that God ought to be the one that's exalted. If we're going to exalt someone, we need to exalt the Lord, and certainly in this, as in every thought that we might try to preach, God deserves all the praise. All the honor and all the glory ought to go to the Lord. But there are those, and have been those in my life, that I appreciate. I share something in common with Timothy. Paul wrote to Timothy, and again in verse 5, he said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." So Timothy obviously had a mother and a grandmother before him that were walking the Lord's path. And when I read this, I can't help but think that I have something in common with this young preacher that the Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to years ago. There was a lady that was born November 2nd, 1909, in Monroe County, Kentucky. Her name was Nova Walden. She was my grandmother, and I really wish that all of you could have met her. I really do. I sincerely wish that that could have happened, but it didn't. She lived to be about 90 years old. And when I begin to study this, I begin to think about her. Now, let me say this, that a little over 20 years ago, also in the month of November, I stood in a funeral home there on the east side of Indianapolis, and there with my mother and my siblings, because my father had passed away, and we were there for his visitation and his funeral. And I remember when it got late in the evening, not long before the hours that had been set for the visitation were about over, most people had left, and I remember walking up beside of his coffin and looking at him, looking at his body, and my mind just began to roll back through the years. And I began to think about all of the things that he had done for me in his life. I just began to reflect on the way that he had worked hard, and the things that he had done to provide for us, that we might have food and that we might have shelter and that we might have clothing and that we might be able to go to school and get an education. And all those things just began to flood my mind about the things that he had done for us in that way. But you know, when you are looking at somebody's lifeless body, once that it has reached that point, if you have something that you want to thank them for or to some way to show your appreciation, I assure you that they can't hear you any longer. At that point, they can't hear it. And I think it's really important. I believe it's very important in life that if we have appreciation that we feel needs to be shown, we ought to show it while we have the opportunity. We ought to give flowers while the flowers can be received. And there were some things when I learned that he was sick, there were some things that I felt like that I needed to tell him, and so I did. I went one day before his passing, and I sat down with him, and I just opened up my heart and told him some things that I wanted him to know, and now today, as I stand before you, I'm glad that I did. Thankful that I did say those things. I remember when I was raising my children, and this is perhaps neither here nor there, but I just want to, I'll just tell you this to show you why I'm saying this. When I was raising my children, I raised them in a way that I wanted them to be tough. I didn't want them to be, for lack of a better word, I didn't want to raise wimps. I wanted them to be tough. And so there were some things in that way that, you know, I would try to allow them to do things at times, try to allow them to handle things by themselves. I remember one time I took my boys out fishing, and my oldest son was about 8 or 9 years old, and we were standing there on the bank, and he got a hold of a big old fish, and his eyes got real big, and he tried to hand it off to me. He was wrestling with that fish, and he said, "Oh, Daddy, you're going to have to take this fish." And I said, "No, that's your fish. You'll have to land him if he gets landed." And he hung with it, and he finally did bring that big old fish in. And I remember one time we were out, and we were walking. We were down by the water, and I had taken the boys fishing, and we were down by the water, and we started back, and we had to go through a field, and it was grown up, and it was tall, and they were following behind me, and I went in front of them to try to clear the path so that they could walk behind me. They were small, and I went trying to stomp the weeds down and move things out of the way and tried to clear the path so that we could get through there, and they did pretty good for a while. But we got into some real thick brush, and finally I heard a little voice behind me and said, "Daddy, I'm stuck." And I turned around, and there was my oldest boy. Man, he was all wrapped up in briars and all around him, so I had to pick him up and help him get through that. But I didn't tell you that today just to know that I had walked through a field with my sons one time. I wanted to say that to you today, to let you know that I am glad for those that walk the path in front of me, that, you know, cleared the way for us, that trod the way before us. And I am today very much appreciative for that. I think today that we owe our appreciation today to those that have lived and walked before us, because we wouldn't be enjoying many of the things that we are today had it not been for their diligence and their perseverance and their love for the Lord. And God bless the memory of those that have already gone on, the many that have already gone on, that today we think about. I can still today in my mind, in my remembrance, I can still hear my grandfather, who died over 20 years ago, I can still hear him praying. Not audibly, not literally, but when I reflect back on it, I can still remember the way that he would pray. And so I thought about my grandmother in this. She was a Sunday school teacher for years and years. And even when she was well up in the years, she was still teaching kids in Sunday school class. And she left behind somewhat of a legacy in the way of being a Sunday school teacher, I believe, because she would get in there with the kids, and many, many times she would get wound up and get happy in the Lord and scare some of the kids to death. And I mean scare them in a good way. Towards the end of her life, the first church that I was ever called to pastor, I had the privilege of being her pastor for about 2.5 years. And I remember her Sunday school room was off of the sanctuary. There was a door there on the outer wall of the sanctuary, and the Sunday school room was back in there. And one time towards the end of the service, she got so loud in her Sunday school class that we began to hear her out in the sanctuary. And she was in there, and you could hear her just praising the Lord. And she was saying, "Children, you need to be saved." And I mean, she was just laying it out to them in there. And in just a few minutes, Sunday school ended. And I mean, some of those kids came out of that room flying. You could see that they were affected by it. We need people that'll just let go and let the Lord have his way with them. And I'm not trying to build her up to be more than what she was. She had her faults, like we all do. But I believe the Lord used her in that. And she was able to influence a lot of young people. And so my mother, bless her heart, just turned 80 years old. And I thank God for the way that she walked before me and the way that she lived before me. And, you know, I remember when I was growing up, especially when it came to things concerning the Lord, I mean, she didn't pull any punches. If she thought I was walking in the wrong way, she would just tell me right straight out. She'd say, "Son, you ought not to be doing those things. You ought not to be living that way. You ought to be following the things that the Lord has taught." And I mean, she never held back at all. She didn't sugarcoat anything. She would just tell me right straight out the way it was and the way that I ought to be. And I'm glad she did. I'm thankful for her frankness and her straightforwardness. And so I'm glad for those, you know, I'm thankful that I had, like Timothy had, that I had a grandmother before me who had this faith. that I had a mother before me who had this faith in them. I remember one time just shortly after I got called to preach, I remember I was having a Bible discussion with my mom, and we got to talking about something, and I got a little bit too big for my britches, I guess is the best way to put it. And I kind of told my mom, I said, well, Mom, I said, you know what? You just don't have any faith. She didn't get mad at me. She just real calmly, she looked at me. She said, son, if I didn't have any faith, you wouldn't be where you are. Well, I never said that to her anymore. I'm glad for the faith that those who have walked before us have had. We have a great ancestry. I mean, we have a wonderful spiritual lineage. And I'm thankful for those, not only those that have lived for the Lord, but even those, you know, we have descended from those that have died for the Lord. There have been those throughout the years, many throughout the years, who wanted you and I to have what we have today so much that they were willing to give up their very lives before they would denounce their faith in the Lord. Those that were willing to be crucified, those that were willing to be burned, those that were willing, to be dragged to death, those that were willing to be mauled by beasts, that were willing to even give up their life so that this faith could be passed on to you and to me. Jude said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write and exhort that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And friends, listen, you know what a boxer that's waiting for the championship, waiting for a chance to fight the championship fight, he's called a contender. And you know something? If we're going to contend for anything, there's going to be some fighting involved. There's going to be some struggling involved. And the people of God throughout the years, friends, they have had to pay the price in order for the truth to be with us today. I believe that there have been sacrifices that have been made. There have been times that those that walked the path before us have had to make sacrifices along the way. They've had to give up things. They, it's not always, the journey that we walk, the path that we walk, it's not always an easy path. There are hard things. There are obstacles along the way. Friends, listen, and this is very important to me, and this is something I'm very burdened with in our day and age. True Christianity is not this always feel good, always everything works well, health, wealth, and prosperity type of living that people are trying to promote today. That's not scriptural Christianity. Christianity has always been a life of servitude and suffering along the way. It always has been. People, in order to serve the Lord, in order to keep the church going, in order to keep His word going and keep the gospel being preached, people have had to sacrifice and work and pay the price for that to be done. Jesus Christ, the very founder of what we have today, bowed there in the Garden of Gethsemane with the sweat dripping from Him as great drops of blood, and He prayed to the Father, let not my will, but let your will be done. And in order for the will of God to be done, He had to go and be nailed to a cross. cost him, didn't it? It's cost many that have upheld the things of the Lord. I say this today to all of you that are here that have walked the path before me. And many of you here today can no doubt relate to this. We think about the song that the contemporary singer Ray Bolts sings. I think often about that song, "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." Thank you, those of you that have trod this way before me. Let me say this today. Let me express this appreciation before you today. And like I said, there are many that I wish today were here that I could tell them the same thing. I hope and pray that I have said enough or done enough in my life to show them how much that I appreciate that. But to those of you that walked this way before me, let me express this to you in the words of that song. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Mine was a life that was changed. Thank God for those men that preached the gospel to me when I was just a little boy. Thank God for those, you know, when I think back again about my grandmother, when I think back about her, you know, she never seemed to really care, to be honest with you. She never really seemed to care how I made, well, let me put it this way, as long as it was something moral and legal, she never really seemed to care how I made my money to get by. I mean, she didn't seem to be that concerned about whether or not I laid asphalt or worked in a kitchen. Just, she never seemed to be overly concerned about things like that. She was always concerned that we would be saved. I mean, that would be, you know, when I would get around her, that would be what she would talk to us about. That would be what she would stress to us, that we needed to be saved. That's what she would tell her grandchildren. You need to be saved. That's what she would try to tell those kids in her Sunday school class. You need to be saved. You don't need to just come here and learn the Bible stories. You need to be saved by God's grace. That was always on her mind. People needed to be saved. She was always stressing that. You need to seek the Lord and be saved. You know what? I don't have any desire when I'm dead and gone from this world. I don't really have any desire for my children to erect a monument for me. I don't desire posthumous fame in that way. You know what I want them to do? I want them to teach my grandkids the same thing I taught them. And I want them to teach others the same thing I taught them. And friends, listen, those that have served the Lord, those that have honored God with their life, have left behind a legacy that could not be left behind in any other way. Listen, one way or another, as we pass through this world, we're going to leave our mark on this world. We may leave a bad mark or we may leave a good mark, but one way or another, we're going to leave our own individual mark here. We're going to impress people around us one way or another. We're going to leave something behind. That, you know, you hear the song, "What Will I Leave Behind?" Well, it's not that any of us will just leave nothing. We're going to all leave something behind. Somebody will remember you in some way. It might be good or it might be bad, depending upon how you spend your time. But somebody in some way will remember you. I'll tell you what, those that serve the Lord, those that live their life for the Lord, those people, I believe, that are concerned with the fact more than anything that when they leave this world, that they will have done what they were able to do to leave behind a good, sound church where people could still be exposed to the truth of the gospel and know what they had to do in order to be saved. Those are the people that have left a legacy that nothing else could ever leave. If you don't have any money to leave your kids when you die, if you have in your lifetime impressed upon their minds the importance of God, the importance of being saved, the importance of knowing the truth and standing for the truth, the importance of the Lord's church here in this world, if you have ingrained that in them and impressed that upon their mind, you have left something behind to them that's better than silver and gold. I mean, it'll go further in their life than those things ever will take them. You know what I believe? I believe Timothy was thankful for Paul. I believe he was thankful for those letters that Paul wrote to him and the way that he instructed him in the ministry. I believe that Joshua, when he led Israel on into the promised land, I believe that Joshua was thankful for Moses and the way that Moses had led them through those years. I believe that after Elijah came back across the Jordan there and picked up that mantle and started to do the things that Elijah had done before him, I believe Elisha had an appreciation for Elijah and the things that he had done. He didn't even want to let go of him, did he? He didn't even want to part from him. Elijah knew that his time had come, and he began to tell Elisha, "I've got to go here and I've got to go there." And Elisha just said, "Well, I'll go with you. I'll go with you." He didn't even want to let go of him. I'm going to say this. I'm going to issue a challenge today. And I'm going to say this to the younger generation of God's people. If we're going to live the way that those before us have lived, we're going to have to step up to the plate. Because if you watch their lives, there's been a dedication. It's just a fact, there's been a dedication there. And it's easy to let that slip away. We ought to have a desire to leave behind spiritual things. Somebody the other night, Friday night, at the singing there at Caney Fork, where Brother Strode's singing reunion was. Somebody there mentioned about their memory of somebody, of hearing them pray. That's what they remembered about them. When they thought about them, this person that was already gone, they thought about how they remembered hearing them pray. That's a good legacy, isn't it? That's a good thing. When somebody thinks about somebody else, they think, you know what? What comes to my mind is I remember how this person would pray before God. That's what I remember about them. That speaks volumes to me. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for spending your time. You know, one way or another, we're going to pass the time of our sojourn. One way or another, the time that God gives us, we're either going to use it wisely or we're going to waste it. You can involve yourself in this world. You can get all wrapped up in the things of this world. You can get all concerned about the material things of this world. And you can waste away the time that God gives you. Or you can be involved in the things of the Lord. You can be involved in spiritual things. You can make spiritual investments. And there will be those that will benefit from those things far more than they will from anything else. I'll tell you what, friends. There have been people in life that have left this world, and they have left behind stacks of money to their children, to their heirs. They've left behind stacks of money, and they've taken it out and they've bought everything they could think of. Thought they had it made. But those that are left with a spiritual heritage have far more. They have far more than those that are willed the material things of life. What are you going to leave behind? As you age, how are you going to impress young minds? What are you going to leave behind? What kind of mark are you going to make on this world? So, I appreciate your attention. I want you to know, as I said in the beginning, for everyone, for every child of God here that has walked this path before me, that I express to you my appreciation for your service to the Lord. And thank you for the things that you have done. And let's all pray for each other. Pray that God will keep us. And I know that He will if we'll trust Him. Pray that we'll trust God to keep us walking in the way that we ought to be walking. And living our life for the Lord. Because that will benefit people. That will benefit people with eternal things. Brother Sanford, I don't know if you have a song on your mind that might be appropriate for this, but I'd like for us to stand and have a song.